ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we'll repeat the verse that has a meaningful purport, and then I'll go back and read the previous two verses, or three verses. Two verses. So we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 45, text number 42. Starts with tat. Taranga prabhavam shankam. Adaya ratam agamat. Tatasam yamanim nama. Yamasya daitam purim. Taranga prabhavam shankam. Adhaya ratham agamat tatta samyamanim nama yamasya daitam purim angam papatam shankam Adayam ratam agamat Tatasam yamanimama Madham daitam purim Adayam ratam agamat Tatasam yamanim nama Yamasya dhaitam purim Tarangam pababam shankam Adaya ratam agamat Tatasam yamanim nama Yamasya dhaitam purim Vaishnavi Tadanga Pababam Shankam Adaya Ratam Agamat Tasa Samyamanim Nama Yadaitam Purim. Tadanga. Oh, I'm sorry. Tad. His. The demons, anga, from the body, prapavam, groan, shankam, the conch shell, adaya, taking, ratam, to the chariot, agamat, he returned, tata, then, samyamanim, nama, known as samyamani, Yamasya of Lord Yamaraj, Daitam, beloved, Purim, to the city. Okay, so before we go on, and I'll go back to verse number 39. Actually, I decided, without consulting, which is my usual condition, you know, that I would just finish the chapter because the verses we're reading are the only ones with any kind of a significant purport. But there are some nice purports from Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, so I brought my second brain, maybe my first one nowadays, with me, electronic, to go over some, has some very nice details about these verses that sometimes all the commentators, starting with Srila Prabhupada, modern commentators, have to leave out many purports because otherwise the Bhagavatam would be so big that nobody would ever buy it. You know, it's already big enough where a lot of people have a difficulty going through it, what to speak if it were three times bigger. If you put in all the commentaries of all the acharyas, it would be 3 to 4 times bigger. And then, you know, somebody would see that and say, no way. You know, I only have 2 hours every day to do what I want. So reading verse 39. Tamaha bhagavan ashu guru putra padiyatam yosaviha tvayagrashto balako mahatormina. Translation. The Supreme Lord Krishna addressed the Lord of the Ocean. Let the son of my guru be presented at once. The one you seized here with your mighty waves. I'll read text 40. Shri Samudra Ubacha Nachahar Shamaham Deva Daitya Panchajano Mahan Antar Jalachara Krishna Sankarupa Daro Sura. Translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. The ocean replied, O Lord Krishna, it was not I who abducted him, but a demoniac descendant of Diti named Panchajana, who travels in the water in the form of a conch. Purport. Clearly the demon Panchajana was too powerful for the ocean to control. Otherwise, the ocean would have prevented such an unlawful act. Om jnana timirandasya ganang jana shalakaya chakshurum militam yinatasmai sri gurave namah. So just a little comment on this particular verse. First of all, what it says here in the purport, the ocean, the demigods, the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, they are responsible to make sure that lawful acts, that everything is done lawfully. No. And nowadays in our modern society, everything is unlawful. No. But a Vaishnava has that duty. Evam parampara praptam imam raja sheyo vidu. No. This is the Vedic culture. A king, anyone who represents Krishna, anyone who preserves the parampara, either as a kshatriya by creating a proper atmosphere, as a kshatriya's duty, just like King Parikshit. He saw the cow being slaughtered, being beaten, and now it's slaughtered. And immediately he acted. But modern leaders, they make money off the slaughter of animals. It's their business. So, and the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins, their duty is to make sure that the parampara in the form of knowledge is passed on, is preserved. So the ocean here being demigod, Varuna, he's saying, I'm sorry, this demon is very powerful. I couldn't control him. So therefore Krishna is coming to his rescue. Now Jiva Goswami says in relation to this verse something interesting. He says that in the verse it says, Nacha, nacha aharsham aham deva. The deva indicates that even though the ocean was incapable of stopping this demon, for Krishna it's just lila, it's just play. That the word deva indicates just part of his playful activities. And then he says at the end, he addresses Krishna as deva. So why does he again say Krishna? Because Krishna is the only person who could attract. Krishna, of course, means to attract. Who could attract or extract the boy, the son of his Sandipani Muni, from the demon. The ocean couldn't do it. The other demigods couldn't do it. Only Krishna. Therefore, he uses the word Krishna. That's some thoughts on that verse. And then the next verse, 41. Aste tenahito nunam tachchutva satvaram prabho jalam avishyatam hatva napashyadudare bakam. Indeed, the ocean said, the demon has taken him away. Hearing this, Lord Krishna entered the ocean, found Panchajana, and killed him. But the Lord did not find the boy within the demon's belly. Now here, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, actually, he wasn't saying he found the, he was saying he didn't find the boy or his bones. No. Because if he would have found the bones, he could have reconstructed the body. Because, let me see, where did he? He mentioned that in a previous verse, if I can remember this, in a previous verse, in the verse first where he read, pradiyatam, here it's translated, you must be presented. But Vishwanath says that this means he must come in his original form. No. I remember when I was young, there was Twilight Zone or something like that, one of the series. Some of you may remember Twilight Zone. Others probably wouldn't. But one program like that, it was about a talisman where the people get a talisman, they get a wish. So they wish that their son who had been involved in an accident could come back, but he comes back in the same form after the accident. So it's not very appealing, you know, all torn up. And so Krishna, he's making the same provision here. My guru doesn't want his boy with his body all wilted up and, you know, destroyed and by being in the ocean. I remember once I was in Vrindavan in the second hottest summer that on record. You know, it was like 57 in the day and 52 at night. What's 57? Like 130, you know, and like 112 in the nighttime. You know. And of course, we didn't have any air conditioning; we just had a fan. And so we would go to the Yamuna every morning and just lie in the Yamuna was about 98, but it felt so cool. You know, felt like cold. But as soon as we lay down in the Yamuna, the turtles, those big tortoises in them, would come up and start biting our toes. They didn't even wait for the soul to leave the body. You know. So what to speak of if someone's in the ocean for a long time, what condition their body would be in. You know. So now, I won't read the other Sanskrit verses for this series of three verses that we read, but I'll read the translation and purport by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. Lord Janardana took the conch shell that had grown around the demon's body and went back to the chariot. Then he proceeded to Samyamani, the beloved capital of Yamaraj, the lord of death. Upon arriving there with Lord Balaram, he loudly blew his conch shell, and Yamaraj, who keeps the conditioned souls in check, this means restrains them, otherwise, means like the police, they keep us in check. They keep us, if we don't act properly, Yamaraj deals with us, in other words. Came as soon as he heard the resounding vibration. Yamaraj elaborately worshipped the two lords with great devotion. And then he addressed Lord Krishna, who lives in everyone's heart. O Supreme Lord Vishnu, what shall I do for you and Lord Balaram, who are playing the part of ordinary humans? So the purport. The conch shell the Lord took from Pankajana, which was called Pankajanya, is the same one he sounded at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. According to the Acharyas, Panchajana had become a demon in a way similar to that of Jai and Bijai. In other words, though appearing in the form of a demon, He was actually a devotee of the Lord. The Skanda Purana of Antikanda describes the wonderful things that happened when Lord Krishna sounded his conch shell. The hell known as Asipatravana lost the sharp sword-like leaves on its trees. The hell named Raurava became free of its Ruru beasts. The Bhairava hell lost its fearfulness, and all the cooking stopped in the Kumbhipaka hell. Kumbhipaka is where the people who have acted sinfully, they heat up, the fires heat up oil and ghee, boiling ghee, and then you get dipped in it again and again. So the fires went out. All these things happened. Skanda Purana further states, their sinful reactions eradicated. All the inhabitants of hell attained liberation and approached the spiritual world. So I'm going to read some things from those same purports, but a little more elaborate. But we should note here, because one would think, how can Krishna take a conch shell who was previously a demon and make it his associate? But this is his eternal associate. But he was cursed by a Brahmin. This is Leela. You know? These things, someone who's being held in the hand of the Lord constantly doesn't just decide to go to the material world. Just like Jaya and Vijaya, they didn't just say, let's go to the material world. We're tired of this doorkeeping service. No. And sometimes we get tired of our service. No. I don't want to wash pots anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. No. But the eternal associates of the Lord, they become more and more enlivened. Anandam buddhivardhanam. No. We chant in our shikshastikam that the holy name of the Lord or the Lord himself or the Lord's energy is always ever expanding. So, but for Leela's sake, so that the Lord could perform this Leela, Krishna, sometimes we plan out a vacation or a trip or something, we take something with us, like a sandwich or something on the airplane or some things in our suitcase. But Krishna plans his whole Leela so meticulously. Every detail is planned out. He has to save the son of his guru. So he makes it so wonderful. It's not just like the fire department rescuing a cat from a tree or something. But he makes it just all kinds of leelas are tied in, and so interesting. So this is the first part. Now, it says here that the conch shell had grown around the demon's body by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says that the Vishnu Purana states that the conch shell was inside the demon. And the reason the Vishnu Purana says that is because the conch shell, the demon was a serpent, big serpent. And Krishna went and grabbed him in the middle and wrestled with him and then killed him. So because he was a long serpent, according to Vishnu Purana, that he could, how could a conch shell grow around him? It would be a very strange looking conch shell, like really long. And also that Panchajanya, the original conch shell, didn't grow actually on the demon, but he was swallowed by the demon because he's a spiritual entity. But other commentators, they stick to this version that it grew. Whether it was outside or inside, Krishna took it away and killed the demon and took the conch shell. And then he by the touch of his hand, the conch shell assumed its beautiful, suitable form so that he could sound it. And then the first time he sounded it was right here, coming into the abode of Yamaraj. Now this same Avanti Kanda of Skanda Purana, that's quoted here, and also Vishnu Purana, state that actually this chariot that is mentioned here, Krishna took it from Varuna. He told Varuna that you give me a chariot. Varuna was very afraid because he wasn't able to accommodate Krishna's desire. because he couldn't, you know, he felt a little ashamed that he wasn't able to defeat the demon. And he was a little, you know, upset that Krishna's just charged into his waters. You know, I mean, he just went, you know, just like when Krishna jumped in the Yamuna to deal with Kaliya, the water, because Krishna had the weight of all universes, the water splashed up, you know, not like us. Sometimes we do the cannonball, you know, but it just splashed up and just over, you know, overflowed over the shores and everything. So what to speak, when Krishna dove into the water, it just, you know, created a lot of, you know, waves and everything, and the ocean was frayed. So Krishna perceived that, and so he said, in a very kind way to make the ocean feel satisfied, please give me your chariot. I have to go to battle with Yamaraj. So he was anticipating a battle. And in these verses, Balaram is characterized as Haladar or Haladyuta. He had his plow in his hand. Krishna had the chariot and was ready for battle. Because, you know, Yamaraj, sometimes even Lord Shiva, you know, challenges Krishna for the sake of his devotees. So Krishna was ready, just in case. And actually, the Vishnu Purana says there was a battle. Now, it doesn't go into details of the battle, but there was a battle. But then Yamaraj, as it says here, realized, here is Krishna and Balaram. Because anybody who comes into, you know, Yamaraj's abode unannounced, most people don't want to go there. You know, it's not like people are breaking down the gates to get in. No, but somehow or another, you know, Krishna and Balaram came, and Yamaraj is not used to people crashing his gates. You know, most people are trying to get out, not in. And so, you know, he was anticipating an intrusion, and therefore there was a battle. But then he realized this is Krishna and Balaram, just like Jambavan fighting with Krishna. He fought for 21 days, and then he was at 18 or 21, I can't remember. Anyway, it was one of those two. And then he realized, the only person who could fight with me like this is my own Lord Brahma. No. Who else could fight with me like this? And he said, he offered his obeisances. No. And the Lord said, well, this is what I wanted. No. The only person who can fight with me is my devotee. You know, a demon said, just, you know, slap them around. Like even here, Nrisimhadev, it was his devotee, you know, he fought with. Otherwise, to fight with an ordinary demon is really below Krishna's dignity. You know, it's an ordinary demon. Maya can, as Srila Prabhupada said, Maya can take care of them with her trident, which means the three miseries of material existence. What to speak of, and if he somehow gets away, Prabhupada said she has 9 other arms with weapons. So no demon can escape Maya. No. So I wanted to read this account. It's a little more the full account from the Avanti Kanda of Skanda Purana is really interesting. The effect that Krishna had in when he went into hell, you know, the effect was amazing. So I'll just read that part about all the things that happened in the hell. By the sound of the conch, the most sinful in hell gave up their fear and became happy. As soon as he blew his conch shell, everybody was just relieved. The fires of hell became peaceful on seeing Krishna. All the swords became blunt, or the spear-like leaves, or the sharp leaves of this tree that cuts people to pieces. And then once they're in pieces, then all the pieces come together, you know, and then he cuts them up again. And they come together and cuts them up again. You know. Just like we just cut our little finger and we're in anxiety, you know what to speak of. So better not to go there, in other words. And all the torture machines fell apart upon seeing him. The blades of the Asipata, we already read that. Hell broke. Rodava lost his cruelty. The Rurus just started dancing. They're usually very fierce and they eat people. And they eat them and then they spit them out and they assemble again and they eat them again. You know? So they were all like smiling. You know? And the hell called Bhairava lost its fearful nature. Kumbhipaka, hell, did not cook anyone. When Krishna arrived, the hell in which sinners are thrown from a mountain gave up its terrible nature. The iron needles lost their power of stitching. The Vaitarani River, hard to cross, became easy to cross. When the Lord of the universe arrived, everyone became liberated because their sins were destroyed. Seeing Krishna, they attained the indestructible abode. Getting on millions of airplanes, they looked at the lotus-eyed Lord and became free of all sin. O sage, when everyone saw the Lord of Lords, the form of the universe, hell became empty. You can imagine this scene, you know, that millions of airplanes arriving in hell. Everybody goes and hell is empty. And Yamaraj can finally chant the holy name, take rest, you know. It didn't have anything to do. So then there's just another little commentary here. Interesting. Well, this is not really. Just Jiva Goswami says, since Krishna dwells in everyone's heart, he knows if a person is telling the truth. He is called Vishnu because he is the Lord of the universe. Yama is therefore his servant. So what he's saying is that Yamaraj in the beginning, somehow or another he said something that's not included here, that wasn't true, and therefore Krishna was ready for battle with Yamaraj. But because Yamaraj realized Krishna's in my heart, then he said, no, I'm your servant. And he worshipped Krishna and Balaram. So, and we'll read, I'll read the next verse. There's no more purports in our book, our particular Bhagavatam version, so I'll just read the next few verses. And then we'll finish the chapter, and Maharaj can begin tomorrow with the next chapter. No, very wonderful chapter. Uddhava visits Vrindavan, very nectarian chapter, and he's the right person. Krishna saved that for him. He's a Rasika Vaishnava, so Krishna saved that chapter for him. The Supreme Sri Bhagavanu Vacha Guru Putram Mihanitam Nijakarma Nibandhanam Anayasva Maharaja Machchasana Puraskrita. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, suffering the bondage of his past activity, my spiritual master's son was brought here to you. O great king, obey my command and bring this boy to me without delay. Now here the acharyas say that Krishna was saying to Yamaraj, you know, it's a little more detailed, saying, I know that it is my order that everyone must suffer their karma, and this boy's karma is that he had to be killed. But now I'm giving another order, and because this order is superior, because I'm giving it to you personally, you must follow this order. And Yamaraj agreed, yes, my lord. After his battle with Krishna, he said, whatever you say, it's fine with me. It's mentioned that Sri Bhagavan Uvacha is used here to indicate the Lord's supremacy over the demigods. Text 46, Tatatite no panitam guru putram yadhutamau tattva sagurave bhujo venishvati tam uchatu. Yamaraj said, so be it, and brought forth the guru's son. Then those two most exalted yadus presented the boy to their spiritual master and said to him, please select another boon. Now this is very important that they said this, because this is the nature of guru dakshin, which we discussed yesterday. It's not that we do some service for the guru and we think, okay, now, okay, we're even. No, I paid off my debt. No, the debt can never be paid. So as soon as they finished this, they said, what's my next service? Just like I mentioned the other day, I think I mentioned it here, that some places I go, sometimes the disciples will say, yeah, I'm chanting my rounds. Like, everything's okay. Don't give me any instructions. No, don't tell me to do anything else. I'm full up. No. So here Krishna himself indicates this is the attitude toward the guru. One should desire, I want more service and more service and more. I have this eternal debt. I want service eternally. Janame, janame, Prabhu se. Birth after birth, I want to serve you. No, not like tit for tat. No. You gave me a mantra, I gave you a son. No. So, yeah, finished. Not like that. So, also, in this particular verse, the acharyas say that that actually Krishna, that Yamaraj restored the body of the boy, that this can be done. Everyone was amazed because generally he doesn't do that. No. Generally he cuts up the body. But of course we understand that when one goes to the hellish planets, that you don't go in your physical body, you go in your subtle body. So it's all a very subtle thing. But Yamaraj took the subtle body and reconstructed perfectly the body at the exact age when the boy was taken away by the ocean. And so that, he didn't give him a different kind of body or it was exactly so that Sandipani Muni could be pleased. Otherwise, the indication is that Krishna insisted that it must be exactly the same. I want to please my guru. I don't want like a blemish or nose over here, and I don't want anything wrong. It has to be perfectly restored, just as he was. So text number 47. Shri Gurur Uvacha Samyak Sampadito Vatsa Bhavadbhyam Guru Niskraya Konu Yusmad Bidha Guru Kamanam Mavashishate. Translation. The spiritual master said, my dear boys, you have completely fulfilled the disciple's obligation to reward his spiritual master. Indeed, with disciples like you, what further desires could a guru have? So Srila Prabhupada said once that the greatest desire of the guru is that the disciple becomes more advanced. So this verse is reflecting that. He's thinking, with disciples like you, all of my desires are fulfilled. That to have disciples like you, who are stated in the previous verse, Yadutamau, Krishna and Balaram, the best of the Yadus. What more could I want? How could I ask for more? Just having you as disciples is the greatest privilege that anyone could ever have. So text 48. Gachatam swagitam birao kirtir bhammastu pavani chandam sya yata yamani bhavantyeva paratracha. O heroes, now please return home. May your fame sanctify the world, and may the Vedic hymns be ever fresh in your minds, both in this life and the next. So he's giving his blessing. And the acharya's comment, he's giving the blessing, but actually this is the real home. This is the comment of Vishwanath and Jiva Goswami. His real home is with the guru. But he said because, your parents have special affection for you because you are your supreme personalities of Godhead, then you should go to that home to fulfill conventional and social norms and to please those very elevated personalities who are your parents. Because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your parents are very special, and therefore they deserve your company. In this case, you should not stay at the home of the guru, but you should fulfill the desire of your parents in this case. And of course, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned in several places that one should be faithful to the parents if they're Vaishnavas. Otherwise, one has a definite obligation that you must care for them very, very nicely. No. Okay, and then we're two more verses. Guru naivam anugyato ratena nilaramasa ayato swapuram tata parjanya and ninadenavai. Thus receiving their guru's permission to leave, the two lords returned to their city on their chariot, which moved as swiftly as the wind and resounded like a cloud. Just like sometimes, I remember when they had the Concorde jets, they would fly from New York to Paris. So they had to maintain a certain attitude so they wouldn't break the sound barrier and disturb people. But here we see Krishna's moving so fast, faster than the speed of sound, that he's creating thunder-like sounds as he travels back home to Mathura. Thus receiving their guru's permission to leave. Oh, I'm sorry, I just read that. The last verse. Samanandam vaja sarva drishta rama janardanao apasyanto bhavahani nashtalabha danaiva. Translation. All the citizens rejoiced upon seeing Krishna and Balaram, who they had not seen for many days. The people felt just like those who have lost their wealth and then regained it. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 45th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Rescues His Teacher's Sons. So I just wanted to read, it's very beautiful, purport to this last verse. This is from the Harivamsa. All the Yadus rose to greet Krishna and Balaram, with Ugrasena in front, along with the army, with joyous minds, the artisans, princes, ministers, and priests, along with young and old, approached Krishna and Balaram. Musical instruments played, satisfying Krishna. The streets shone with flags and garlands everywhere. The palace was completely joyous with the arrival of Govinda, as at a sacrifice for Indra. Joyous minstrels, dear to the Yadus, sang foremost songs of victory on the main roads. When the famous brothers Krishna and Balaram arrived, all the citizens played with their friends without fear. There was no misery, contamination, or lifelessness in that city when Krishna arrived in Mathura. O king, the birds sang sweetly. The cows, horses, and elephants were jubilant. All the men and women had contented minds. Auspicious pure wind blew in all directions. All the devatas were happy in their abodes. All the symptoms of Satyayuga appeared when Krishna arrived in that city. So, when I read that purport, I was just reflecting on how we should receive the holy name in our hearts, daily. Sometimes we get up, That's probably because, usually you get up like that because you were doing what you weren't supposed to do in the evening. Because if you actually hear about Krishna in the evening, people always ask me, how can I become more attracted to chanting my japa? And I say, don't do Facebook at night. Don't do your email and your internet explorations or other things, or business. But the last thing, just like Maharaj and many devotees here remember, when we were previously in the temples, every night we would read, half an hour, 45 minutes Krishna book, drink some milk, so our brains would be sharp, and we would hear Krishna book. And then, it's so wonderful to hear about Krishna so you can remember him. And also then when you wake up in the morning, you're very anxious to chant the holy name. If the last thing you do is read about who did this, who fell down, who had problems, on the internet, then you wake up like miserable. Your whole mind is full of problems, difficulties. No. But if we read, hear about Krishna, and then we wake up, I want to chant the holy name. Let me receive the holy name in the proper consciousness, in the proper mood, with the proper mindset. So I was just remembering that as I read that purport. It said that they felt like they had lost their lives. No, and here it says, in the purport it says, lost their lives and regained it. And here it says, lost their wealth and then regained it. No. So losing wealth and regaining it, that's one thing. But losing your life and then regaining it, that's even more intense. No. Just like sometimes people, they have these near-death experiences where they actually, the body goes out and comes back in. Even Bhakti Sundar Maharaj told me he had that experience one time when he was just coming to Krishna consciousness. No. He had the out-of-body experience, no. Experiencing the presence of the soul. And so it wasn't like a medical operation. It was like experiencing the soul, coming to Krishna consciousness and experiencing the nature of the soul beyond the realm of the mind and the body. So so this is when Krishna leaves, whether he leaves Vrindavan, which is the most intense, or he leaves Dwarka, or he leaves Mathura in this case, everyone feels like my life has gone out of my body. So these descriptions are there so that we can, you know, because sometimes we may not feel like that. We go away from the deity and we think, okay, now next program is this and that. You know? But we should actually feel, this is an indication, when we walk out of the temple room, we should feel like my life was left behind. You know? Just like Srila Prabhupada said in Atlanta, that because they're very beautiful Gornita deities, and they had just installed them when Srila Prabhupada went there. And he had just come from Mexico, Caracas. And so Prabhupada began his class, and he said, I have just gone, he's meeting Los Angeles, this and that, Mexico. And then he said, and Caracas, yes, Caracas. And now I am here. He said, but this is the best place. You know, because they had a big Sankirtan. It was full of Sankirtan devotees. Of course, Venezuela, on that particular visit, Prabhupada was very happy because the devotees had just won the marathon, right? They were very powerful. But Atlanta was like all the book distributors from practically the whole U.S. And it was just like an ocean of Sankirtan devotees and Prabhupada and seeing Gornitai. So Prabhupada said, so when you go out, don't leave Gornitai behind. Take them with you in your heart. They don't want to stay behind. They don't want to stay here in the temple. They want to go out with the devotee. So we should feel that way. And just in conclusion today, I compliment the pujaris who dress the deities. They're extraordinarily beautiful. As we sing in the morning, Suvasa, Krishna's Suvasa, the best, the most expert dresser. And I was just thinking of that today, how expert, especially Jagannath Balade Subhadra Devi, their crowns are as big as they are. You know? Who in this world wears a hat as big as they are? You know? Maybe the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland, but other than that, you know, who wears a hat that big? You know, it's just amazing and so beautiful. So I really was amazed by the deities this morning. They're amazing. Of course, they're always amazing, but sometimes they're even more amazing. As it says, and I mentioned it yesterday, param param bhushana bhushanangam, that Krishna is the ornament of his ornaments. You know? Otherwise, if we saw all these, they're beautiful colors and everything, but what makes them extraordinarily beautiful is Krishna. You know? He's the diamond within the setting. You know? They are the setting and he's the diamond. So he makes them beautiful. They don't make him beautiful. But he makes them beautiful. And then everything becomes extraordinary. So I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any commentaries or questions? Comments? Narottam Prabhu, grab the mic.
Maharaj, I just wanted to thank you again for another nice class. And also inform you that we had a devotee recently come back from the dead.
Ted?
We had Daruka Prabhu, Sweta Manjari, our chef for College Hungies. Uh-huh. Her husband's a truck driver, had a, practically a brand new semi, and was having some problem with the steering, so he went in and Volvo semi and had the steering column changed. So he went back out on the road and he was going through the mountains. I can't remember the exact location, but the steering, and what was really interesting is he had a kirtan on in the truck and he was singing along with the kirtan. And suddenly he was going around a curve on a mountain and the wheel froze and he couldn't turn it. Just within 1 second, his truck went flying out into the air, and straight out off the mountain, and then he went down the side of a mountain 600 feet, busting down huge trees, and you know. And then he showed me a picture of the truck, and the truck, the entire top of the truck is just completely ripped off the frame of the truck. And so when the police and the ambulance came there, they saw the truck down there, and they said he's dead, 100%. There's no question of it. So they brought something there to lift the truck out, and what had happened somehow is his seat, from the force from going down in the side of this mountain, had rammed his body down in between the frame, and he was completely okay. He only had like one small little scratch on himself.
So they were pretty amazed when they got down there, huh?
2 weeks ago, or whatever it was, a month ago or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Actually, that happened to me also.
To you?
I had an accident where a car flipped over 5 times. The whole roof was crushed down to the seats, except right over my head. There was just the one part that was like that. Everything else was crushed into the seats, you know? And when the police came, you know, they were looking for me. They said, you know, they thought I'd been thrown out or something. But my japa had flown out. And I was like walking down in the field looking for my japa. You know. And they said, we can't believe you're alive. You know. I just got the same thing. I got one little cut here. And that was it. You know. So Krishna's mercy. So Nityananda Prabhu. Here comes the mic.
The pastime that you read about how Krishna rescues the son of his teacher, mm-hmm. his guru, reminded me of this thing that we were discussing, how there's sometimes difficulties in our movement and between devotees, and you know, it becomes like such that it's hard to resolve, you know? You feel like there's no way. You try this way, somebody's offended. You try that way, somebody else is offended. Mm-hmm. And this pastime, you know, gave me a realization that if we just remain calm and continue doing our service, like Sandipani Muni continued to doing his service, even though his son had died, he didn't become all flustered and, you know, started thinking, you know, is there a real God? Why did my son die with my presence, you know, in my presence like that? He continued doing his service, and doing his service, he actually came to this point where something that he had as a desire in his heart was fulfilled anyway, in a way that so many people benefited. I mean, all the residents of hell benefited from his patience and his continuing doing his service, you know. So it sort of reminds us that as devotees, we just continue doing our service and not get too caught up in our insecurities and our insistence that the result has to be there according to my understanding. Then Krishna actually creates a result that actually so many people benefit from. Even though it was a problem, it turns out to be such a boon, right? The problem turned out to be such a boon that all these residents of hell got such a big boon. If this had not happened, if Panchajani had not done what he had done, you know, the residents of hell would definitely have not benefited from that exercise. Yes. So I was just thinking as a realization that, you know, when we're trying to resolve issues, sometimes we have to be a little patient and just ask people, continue doing your service, just do your service. And Krishna will sooner or later figure out something, and you know, because we can't figure it out, he can, and everybody comes out winning. The beauty was everybody was smiling in the end. Even Yamaraj, who was trying to battle with Krishna, came out smiling in the end because he met his Lord. You know, met the Lord's. So it's like a win-win situation when you remain patient like that. Mm. So nice. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, I'll try to remember that next time I'm trying to resolve an issue. I'll refer them to this story. That you may, if you remain patient, you may save millions of people. No. Actually, I was thinking when we read that, I was thinking of how everyone, the Lord is so attractive. Just like when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, and then after, you know, he wandered around a little bit, he actually came back to Shantipur. And previously he was, I forget the name of the other place, in Bishchapati's house, some Brahmin. And then he went to Shantipur, and everyone was so eager to see him that they just all started crossing the Ganga, holding onto pots or whatever they could just to get across. You know, people couldn't swim. They would hold onto a branch or a pot or something. Everybody just flocked. So we should be so anxious to see Krishna, to, you know. Yes.
Maharaj, I have a question regarding love of God and the concept of hell, since it's come up in this storyline. And, you know, obviously Krishna is so beautiful, he's so attractive, he's the well-wisher of everyone, and there's a natural tendency to appreciate him and to love him. Anyone who becomes acquainted with his glories and his pastimes or his devotees. But on the other hand, this torture of entering hell for not loving Krishna seems to be contradictory to the very basis of love. In other words, love God or go to hell. Love God or, you know, you see? So it kind of puts a condition on love. Could you explain that for us?
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada addressed that point. He said, it says in one purport, I can't remember where the purport is, but he says, one would think if the Lord wants everyone to love him, why does he allow people to come into the material world in such a miserable existence? Which means, you know, because for us, hell is anything except for Vaikuntha, you know. It's all just different degrees of hell. So, and Srila Prabhupada explains, it must be like that, otherwise there's no question of independence. Otherwise that the Lord is simply satisfying the desire of the living entity. The further away they want to get from Krishna, then Krishna's attractive potency, you know, the further you get away, just like the further a spark gets away from the fire, the more it becomes extinguished. So the farther they go from Krishna, and the more this desire to enjoy and control increases, then there has to be a situation which is convincing enough that they want to go the other direction. So that was how Srila Prabhupada explained it. It is a necessity so that they have that independence. And that so returning to Krishna is a free choice. It's free will. It's a desire. It arises out of, you know, it may arise out of fear or suffering, but ultimately it has to be completed by love, by loving Krishna. So that's why it's so convoluted and so complex, the whole situation in the material world. Because the living entity goes so far that only by fear and only by suffering can they actually reverse their direction. So,
thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. I have very poor fundamental knowledge, but what I understood from Narottam Prabhu question, the love of God, and then if you don't love, then go hell. But as a Bhagavatam we read, that doesn't mention like that. There's a certain sinful reaction, you go hell, and a certain situation you suffer. Mm-hmm. It does not condition on the point love of God. They're far away. It's nothing compared.
Yeah, it has nothing to do
Krishna
with.
Have created this material world. Someone can be pious, go heavenly planets, enjoy. Or someone not doing sinful reaction, they go to hell. It's nothing, the question of love of God not there.
Also, the living entity, when they come to the material world, they take the position of Brahma. They don't go to hell. No. They actually have a very exalted position and an opportunity to return to the spiritual atmosphere.
Maharaj, why did Sandipani Muni ask Krishna to return his son? It seems like a family attachment.
Well, actually, it's explained here in these purports that because Krishna desired something very extraordinary, and that's why he asked for it. It wasn't like his attachment. Of course, it's natural to be attached to a son, even though you may be a great Brahmin. And Sandipani Muni, being the very elevated, the son of Purnamasi, pretty elevated parentage. But still, there's always attachment. I mean, Krishna and his wives were lamenting the departure of Pradyumna. I mean, all these things, it's just attachment is there. It's a part of love. And what to speak of someone as elevated as Sandipani Muni. But actually, the explanation here is given that because Krishna and Balaram wanted to do something worthy of their... it's actually the verse, and then it's explained in the purport a little more. One of the verses back here, it says that... we read that yesterday. O King, the learned Brahmin Sandipani carefully considered the two lords' glorious and amazing qualities and their superhuman intelligence. Thus, after consulting with his wife, he chose as his remuneration the return of his young son. So the main reason was that he wanted to see their prowess. He wanted to demonstrate their prowess. Because he could have said, well, give me, bring some firewood, or like, he did with, And even when he asked for firewood, and Krishna and Sudam went to get firewood, turned into an amazing demonstration of Krishna's prowess. And what to speak of returning a son. And plus, Nityananda Prabhu said, then it turned out that so many other things happened. Millions of people were liberated from hell, was emptied out. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That hell was completely emptied. So, I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry,
Name of the son.
The name of his son. I've never seen it mentioned. No, it's not mentioned here. It's not Marumanga. No, because Marumanga stays in Vrindavan. As far as I understand, he stays in Vrindavan. He doesn't, he doesn't go to Prabhasa, So. So I think anyway, we'll stop here. All glory to Sri Guru, Sri Guranga, Sri Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, Ki Jai.